You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 6th of January 2025. The Australian share market rose today, but only just by 0.1% to 8,257. We'll have the details with Elio D'Amato from Daylight Financial in a few moments. But first, a record 1.22 million new vehicles were sold in Australia in 2024. That's up 0.3%, and according to the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries. Those numbers don't include, though, Tesla and Polestar models. But there are still fears that new car prices may rise in 2025. To tell us why and for more, Raina Bosch spoke with the CEO of the FCAI, Tony Webber.
Well, the first half of the year was very strong, incredibly strong, on a record year in 2023, in which by June we're up by an incredible 8.7%. But the second half of the year was much lower in the numbers, down by 7.1%, as the cost of living pressures on households told in the market.
It's often said that vehicle sales reflect the state of the broader economy. Looking at last year's numbers, was that the case?
I think if you look at 2024, the second half of the year was very soft, and part of that softness comes from private buyers not entering the market. And we saw a substantial reduction in private purchases of vehicles, and that is really predicated on the cost of living crisis and high interest rates in the Australian economy.
So what were the emerging trends that you identified in 2024?
Well, I think there's a few trends. If you look at the market, SUVs and light commercials, or utes as most people call them, are almost 80% of the market now, and sedans represent only 1 in 6 of sales in Australia. So that is quite a dramatic change from what we've had historically. I think the other thing is the growth in low emission vehicles. There's a lot of sales of hybrids and plug-in hybrids last year. The growth was strong. What was disappointing for us was the lack of growth in the EV market. It's now around 7.5%. Last year it was at 7.2%. So whilst there was growth there, it was very modest.
As of January the 1st, the government introduced new vehicle efficiency standards. What do you know about those, and what is the consumer impact?
Well, the new vehicle efficiency standard is incredibly stringent in the out years. By 2029, we have to have a substantial reduction. Now, we have modelling out there from an international source that says that 60% of all sales in Australia by 2029 will have to be EVs to meet the standard. And as of today, we're only at 7.5%. So it has to be a dramatic change in buyers' behaviour between now and 29 if we're going to hit that standard. Otherwise, penalties will be paid, which will make vehicles more expensive and push up the cost of motoring for all Australians.
We know that motoring competition is heating up both locally and internationally. How do you see that impacting things?
I think we'll see greater number of brands entering the Australian market in 2025, as we have done over the last 2 years. Predominantly, these will come from China, and they'll have a lot of low emission technologies and a lot in particular of EVs. So I think there's going to be a lot more competition in the market, which is good for consumers.
And what are you expecting to happen with the new vehicle market looking ahead to 2025?
Well, momentum in the market certainly is not strong at the moment. So I think that 2025, whilst we'll see a lot of new players, a lot more competition in the market, I think the main factor that will drive the market will be economic factors. The cost of living and interest rates are going to be really important to where the market goes in 2025.
That is Raina Bosch there speaking with Tony Webber, the Chief Executive of the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market fell today. No, it didn't. It rose, but only just. Either way, it doesn't really matter because it pretty much finished where it started. The S&P ASX 200 up just 0.08%, 8,257. Very little movement. That's despite a stronger start. To tell us why and for his outlook on the markets for 2025, I spoke with Elio D'Amato, the market analyst at Daylight Financial.
Earlier, so the market lost steam after a stronger open. Why? Well, I think it was a bit of dose of reality. Whilst we had a strong lead in the US on Friday, which obviously led to a very strong open here on the bourse, we then realized that the problems in China are very much still lingering and haven't disappeared anytime soon. So, whilst I think the IT sector has still held up okay, it was pretty clear early on that our worst performers would be iron ore type of stocks. And with the sell-off in Singapore that we've seen, with I think iron ore below $100 a ton now, much of the market has just pulled back from some over-enthusiasm that it had on that open.
We're getting some economic data to start the year this week, namely monthly CPI retail sales. Tell me what the market is looking at, because there are hopes that we'll finally see an interest rate cut at some point this year.
Yeah, it certainly never ends, doesn't it? I mean, this latest raft of data, I think there's a, well, actually, this raft of data that we're going to get is probably going to confirm what I'm starting to hear a lot more of, and that is that interest rates will remain higher for longer. Obviously, the declining Aussie dollar has had a big impact in regards to inflation concerns across the board. And whilst we may very well see that reflected in this retail number, this exclusion of reality probably means that interest rates are going to remain a little bit more elevated than we thought initially. So yes, very much this will be a pivotal week, and definitely will command some eyeballs from those that are on leave, because I suspect that it will have a big say in where we head in quarter one this year.
Oil is at a near 2 month high. Do you know why?
No, not really, other than to say that when those events in October 2023 occurred, I mean, oil prices are still lower than that, and I'll eat my hat. I thought that oil prices would have risen in response to what occurred in that region of the world, but there you have it. We're definitely lower today. Of course, that China story that I alluded to earlier has a big say in regards to the demand for the commodity overall. And OPEC continues to delay production increases to its output, which may very well start to be hitting the bottom line. Of course, US stockpiles are keenly watched by most traders, because obviously, as stockpiles go up or down, you will sometimes see the price fluctuate in and around that. But other than the regular driving season here in Australia, where inevitably the price of the Bowser goes up at this time of year, there really isn't much to suggest that we're headed clearly one way or the other.
Any company news you're keeping an eye on today?
Look, not too much. It's obviously fairly quiet. Most board members are relatively, contrite at the moment, and not necessarily saying much. Although Insignia was forced out of its slumber when it saw a rather large bid come from it, or at least a counter bid, as it were, of $4.30 per share, which led them to basically tell investors not to do anything yet, whilst they work with their advisors to inform the market more of whether they think it's a good offer or not. And then, of course, you had Gold Resources, who came out with an update to production, saying that they had achieved a record quarterly production or monthly production at their Gruyere project, which was to be expected. I think in September it was around 60 odd thousand. Definitely this quarter was above 90 odd thousand, but it was in line with the ramp up that we had been expecting from that. And I think investors will want to see some more clarity in regards to what they do with their rather larger grey mining set now that it's obviously going to merge with Northern Star Resources. And of course, the Mellina project, which we're waiting for some assay results from, which is right next door to where effectively De Grey was as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So there's enough to keep us interested, as it were, on computer screens, though, to be honest, it's a relatively quiet day out there.
And now, with the start of the new year, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, who am I to contradict the learned opinions of many, whereby they are looking still at those tech-related businesses? A concept we've discussed many a time in the past is that price taker versus price maker phenomenon. And I think that that is going to be another recurring theme this year. Obviously, in an inflationary environment, it's hard to suggest the commodities it can be this low for this long. And one would think you might get a natural bounce, but to be honest, without the demand side, you're going to be very much bottom feeding there in that regards. And the easier money is to be made in that tech sector. So our tech sector here in Australia was actually the best performing sector last year, on the back of what occurred in the US. Expect another strong performance this time around. even financials, whereby many are wondering how they can support lofty valuations as they are. With the exclusion of interest rates, they can effectively write their own ticket on whatever product they have that is out there. So look for them to continue to be well supported moving forward. And ultimately, if you can control what you can charge the market, then I think you'll come out fine in 2025.
That is Elio D'Amato there from Daylight Financial. Don't forget, if you like the podcast, to give it a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And remember to subscribe to get this podcast delivered to you and alerted whenever it is posted daily. Speak to you soon.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.